many ideas are given for why Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear in this week's Sedra. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear in many Sedras, but there's a good reason why. In the whole book of Bereishis, his name doesn't appear because he wasn't born yet. In the book of Devarim, there are Sedras where Moshe's name doesn't appear because he's the one who is doing the talking. Right? God speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu, so not to him. And therefore, his name isn't mentioned. But in this week's Sedra, it should have said, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, that God spoke to Moshe and told him all the things, the oil for the menorah and the clothing for the Kohanim and how to induct the Kohanim. Should have said, at least, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor once and mentioned Moshe's name. But Moshe's name is not mentioned anywhere in this Sedra, and is only referred to as you. There are many reasons given. One classical reason is this Sedra is always read around Zion Adar, before or right after. Like this year, Zion Adar is on Sunday, and Zion Adar is the Yahrzeit, Moshe Rabbeinu's death date, and therefore to signify that Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer here, his name is left out of this Sedra around his Yahrzeit. That's a very nice idea, but it... Well, what?
Zion Adar is not tomorrow.
Zion Adar is Sunday, I think. No?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the first day of Adar was Shabbos. So, no, 1 second, it's Friday. Friday is Zion Adar, yeah? Friday is Zion Adar, yeah. Friday. Aleph Adar was Shabbos, so Zion Adar is Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. Friday.
Sorry.
Tomorrow. You're right. No, very good. You're right. No, it's important you told me.
I've been looking it up.
Okay, I don't know why I thought it was Sunday, because my brother's Yahrzeit is also Zion Adar, and I would have made a mistake if you didn't tell me. Thank you. Okay, in any case. That can't be the real reason, because the fact that the Torah is split into 54 Sedras is only a custom. And only a custom of Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, they split the Torah into 160-something Sedras and finished the Torah every 3 years, not every year. They only had a Simchas Torah every 3 years. We have the custom, like Bavel, of finishing the Torah, which now has become universal, to finish the Torah every year. So it's only according to the breakup of the custom of Bavel to break the Torah up into 54 Sedras that it works out that Zion Adar coincides with Parshas Tetzaveh. But according to the other setup, it doesn't work like that at all. So that's only dependent on custom, so that can't be the reason why the Rabban Shalom left Moshe's name out of the Sedra. There are many other reasons given. I want to tell you something new, that you're the first people to hear it from me, and you will be my sounding board to see. It's not, since I just came back from Chutz Laaretz after 2 weeks, I didn't have a chance to really think about this as much as I should have. It's not polished, but I think the idea is a reasonable idea. The Sfarno, in the beginning of this week's Sedra, says that, it says, the Atotitzave, you should command. The Sfarno says the first three things in this Sedra had to be done directly by Moshe Rabbeinu. Up until now, Moshe was just instructed to get other people to do the job. Get Bezalel to build the Mishkan, to build the Aron, to build all the various Kalim, right? Moshe was not the one who was directly involved. He just delegated the authority to other people. But says the Sfarno, in these three things, what are the three things? In securing the oil for the menorah and making sure that it was pure, in designating Aaron and his children to be Kohanim, to separate them, Hakre Velecha, bring them close to you and designate them to be the Kohanim, that Moshe had to do himself. He couldn't delegate that to somebody else. And the third thing was to command about making the clothing of the Kohanim, That also Moshe had to do directly. He couldn't delegate that to someone else. He had to be the one to command the details of how the clothing of the Kohanim should be made. The actual making of it was done by other people. But the command and the instructions had to be given directly by Moshe Rabbeinu, not delegated to somebody else. The Sforno doesn't explain why. Why would these three things had to be done directly by Moshe and couldn't be done indirectly by him? I was thinking of the following. What do these three things represent? The shemen, the oil of the menorah, the lighting of the menorah, according to many commentaries, including the Netziv, is the menorah represents the light of Torah Shemopeh, the oral Torah. We light that light of the oral Torah because we have a share in the oral Torah. The written Torah was given to us by God, complete, finished, nothing to add or subtract or change. But the oral Torah, we're the ones who learn the things from the written Torah and create the oral Torah. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was given to him all the rules or whatever, and someone who learns it properly, basically when there's questions of halacha, whatever, they learn from the written Torah what these halachas are, including using the rules that God gave and using your own logic too. That's also part of how to derive things from the Torah. And whatever a person using the right rules or whatever comes with is Torah. And that's why there can be arguments. This one comes to his understanding, this one comes to his understanding, then the Torah said, so what do you do? Can't do a lot of different things. Then there's rules how to decide what the halacha is. But that's what God wants. God doesn't want a prophet to come and tell you what the halacha is. He wants you to derive it yourself. And what you derive, if you follow the right process, is Torah. That's what God wants. But the Torah Sheba'al Peh, therefore, has our involvement. Okay? And therefore, the menorah represents all the beauty that we add to the Torah by v'hagdil Torah la'adira, we increase the Torah and go into all the details and create new cases and new halachic rulings. It's like the kaftor v'therach, like the buttons and the flowers that adorn the menorah. It's beautiful. Torah Sheba'al Peh is a beautiful thing. That's what men sit and learn Torah Sheba'al Peh all day, right? Gemara, whatever. That's the beauty and the growth of the Torah. Torah is not static and stagnant, but it's alive like a flower, and it's complete like a sphere, right? The shlemus, the perfection of the Torah, and it's gevim. It has cups that can receive it. What's it called? The oil of the Torah, of the oral Torah. We fill up that oil. We light those candles. Okay. In any case. And therefore, what's it called? Moshe Rab. However, everything that anybody learns out from the Torah Sheba'al Peh has to have its source in the Torah Shebichsad, and it has to be done in the way that God said to do it, with the rules that God said, and by people who are dedicated to those rules, and people who represent Torah. It's not Hefker, okay? And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was the receiver of the Torah. God gave Moshe Rabbeinu the entire Torah. He was the fountain, the foundation, the root of all Torah. All of Torah is in the Torah Shebichsav, in the written Torah that God gave to Moshe. The Abarbanel distinguishes between, says, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, the first mission in Pirkei Avos. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai, and then he gave it over to Yoshua, and Yoshua gave it over to the... He says that, what does that mean, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai? He got it from God. What do you mean, got it from Sinai? He said, Moshe Rabbeinu was different than anyone else. Moshe didn't learn the Torah from somebody else or whatever. God poured the Torah into Moshe Rabbeinu. God himself taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah. Moshe received the Torah. How was he fit to be the kli, the receptacle for God to fill up with the Torah and to make him the root and the foundation and the spring of all Torah that would ever emanate from that? Mishinai, he got it from the fact that he spent a lot of time in introspection and in a tremendous amount of preparation on Sinai, right, when he used to herd the flocks of Yisro, and he thought and he pondered and he introspected, and therefore he made himself fit to be the vessel that God would fill with Torah. But God filled him with the Torah. It was like, you know, Lahavdil, taking a computer and downloading a tremendous amount of things into the hard drive of that computer. That's what God downloaded into Moshe Rabbeinu's hard drive, the entire, all Torah that could possibly be. Moshe didn't know it openly. He didn't know everything that ever would be. But it says that everything that any student will say before his Rav, that's authentic Torah, is potentially in the Torah that God gave Moshe Rabbeinu. Actually, maybe may have not known it, but potentially it was there. And in order for Torah to be authentic and to have its integrity, it has to have a connection to that source of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu not as the one who gave over the Torah, but Moshe Rabbeinu as the repository of the entire Torah. And any Torah Shebaal Peh that would then be enlarged and learned or whatever had to have its source, had to be connected to that repository, to that reservoir of Torah. It couldn't come from another source. It had to come from that source. So the, what's it called, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be involved directly. He wasn't just giving over the Torah. It had to connect into the reservoir that Moshe Rabbeinu was. The Moshe Rabbeinu that was Kibel Torah. So that's the first thing. Torah Shebaal Peh, even though we have a share in it, and we ke'ilu produce it, but we produce it by drawing from the reservoir that God created in Moshe Rabbeinu. So the menorah, which represents Torah Shebaal Peh, the oil is the foundation, is the reservoir from which the light of Torah Shebaal Peh comes, and it comes in stages. Moshe Rabbeinu had to take that oil to him. It had to connect into him in order that the oil should represent the purity and the total integrity of Torah. Then the oil was put into the menorah by a Kohen. It had to be connected to the reservoir of Torah, and then it had to go into the hands of people who preserve that integrity by what's it called, by preparing it. But the actual lighting of the menorah could be done by any Jew. It was the preparation for the lighting that had to be done by a Kohen, and the actual securing of the oil and making sure that it was pure without any, not adulterated at all, that was Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to do it indirectly. He wasn't handing over Torah. He was being connected into as the source of all of Torah Shebaal Peh. It had to have its source in him. And after that, it had to be prepared by people who would maintain its authenticity, right? Its integrity. And that's why a Kohen had to set up the wicks and pour in the oil in the cups. But the lighting itself could be done by anybody. Any Jew could light the menorah. Any Jew can learn Torah Shebaal Peh, but he has to be prepared by a Rebbe who, it says, if the Rav is Dom Malach Hashem Tzvakol, Sifsei Kohen, Yishmeru Das, the lips of the Kohen, guard the knowledge of Torah, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakosu. Then you should ask Torah from him, because he's like a Malach, he's like an angel. He is a total Shliach. An angel is a messenger, an agent. He's an agent of making sure that the Torah is transmitted with integrity, pure, without being adulterated. But it draws on the reservoir of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the oil had to be secured by Moshe Rabbeinu personally. After you have that oil, it goes through the hands of the Kohen to prepare it. and then any Jew can come and learn that Torah Shebal Peh and light it. And I think that that's the two brachas. Oh, let's see, we'll get to it. Okay, now, then there's a second thing that has to have its source in Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, right? The first thing that has to have its source in the written Torah is the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah. Second thing is avoda, service of God. Service of God is defined by the Torah. You can't make up your own service of God. You can't have your own avoda, because then it's avoda zorah, it's strange service. That's what avoda zorah is. You want to worship God, but not the way He wants it, the way you want it. That's awesome. Avoda Hashem, how we serve God, God determines. And how does God determine it? Where does He determine it? In the Torah. The Torah is the parameters and the guidelines for what is authentic avoda. So it's not only what is authentic oral Torah, what is authentic service to God. Okay? And if it doesn't have its source in the Torah, it's not rooted in the Torah, then it becomes avoda zorah, strange service. And that is an example I'd like to give is the following. I had an elderly gentleman in my kehila in Miami who had some kind of chronic disease, and it got to a point where one year his wife called me on Tzom Gedalia after Rosh Hashanah, hysterical. "You got to save my husband's life." I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "We just went to the doctor, and the doctor examined him, and he said his condition has reached a point where he's not allowed to fast on Yom Kippur. He's basically healthy, but if he fasts, it's going to complicate his condition, and he's going to be in danger of his life." So the doctor said he's not allowed to fast. And we left the doctor's office, and my husband said, "I haven't eaten on Yom Kippur since my bar mitzvah, and I don't plan to start now, and I don't care what the doctor says, I'm fasting. So I'm afraid my husband's going to die. Do something."
Isn't that a sin?
Yeah. So I called the man in after I spoke to his doctor and heard exactly why he felt he had to eat regularly, three regular meals. And I called a religious doctor and asked him, "If you had a patient with these conditions, what would you prescribe?" He said, "Three regular meals on Yom Kippur." I called the man in and I said, "Look, I spoke to your wife, I spoke to your doctors. You must eat on Yom Kippur." He said, "Rabbi, you're a nice man. You're about a third my age." I was younger then, and he was old. "You can't run my life, and I am not going to eat on Yom Kippur." I said, "Okay, you're right. I can't, force you to do anything. But I run this shul. And as soon as you leave my office, I'm going to call the Gabayim and tell them never to give you another honor in this shul. Nothing. Not opening the Aron Kodesh, not an Aliyah, nothing. You are persona non grata in this shul." He said, "On what pretense?" I said, "Well, we are very lenient in giving Aliyahs to people who don't keep Shabbos. But we've never given an idol worshiper an Aliyah in this shul. And you're an idol worshiper." He looked at me like I'm out of my mind. I said, "Look, the God that we worship in this shul said that you have to eat on Yom Kippur. Now, you probably have some other God that told you to fast on Yom Kippur. Now, I don't really care if your God is called Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur God told you to fast. But the God of Israel said, who told us to fast on Yom Kippur, said in your situation you have to eat. So you obviously are serving a different God than we're serving over here. Because your Yom Kippur God said you have to fast, but the God that we worship over here said you have to eat. So if you choose to fast, then obviously you are worshiping a different God than we are, so you can't get an Aliyah over here." He ate the Maisa that year. So, but that's the idea. Avoda, if it is not rooted in Torah, it's just the whim of a person, even if it looks real from, it's not Avoda Hashem, it's Avoda Zor. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be the one to designate the Kohanim. The Kohanim are the foundation of avoda, of service in Klal Yisrael. Avoda sakorbanos. Avoda is directed by the Kohen. But a Kohen can't be a Kohen. The symbol of avoda has to come from the reservoir of Torah. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu personally had to designate Aaron and his children to be the Kohanim. The third thing that needs to come directly from the reservoir of Torah is Kedusha, spirituality. Today, spirituality is a big fad, craze, all over the world. People are very spiritual. They want to do spiritual things. Spirituality is determined by Torah. Fulfilling the Torah is being spiritual. Doing things that you like to do, or maybe even don't like to do, but think they're spiritual and they are not grounded in the Torah, is again, not spirituality at all. It's anything that, well, I just feel that, right? It's my feeling. I'm serving God with feeling. Feeling is very good, but it has to be within the parameters of what the Torah permits, commands, prohibits, and so on. And therefore, the classic example is Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu wanted to get close to God. And they wanted to bring a fire on the altar, right, what's it called, and get this tremendous closeness. What happened in the end? They got burned. Literally. Right? Because they didn't do it the way it was supposed to be done. They didn't do it within the parameters that the Torah prescribed. They did it with tremendous ecstasy and feeling, but the feeling and ecstasy have to fill the parameters of the Torah and not create new parameters. And therefore, spirituality has to be rooted in Torah. And that's why there's two brachas for the Torah. One is the Torah that we have, that we observe. That's Asher Bochar, Bon Mikol Amim. God chose us from all the nations of the world. The Nosan Lanu Es Torah So, and He gave us His Torah. Baruch Ato Hashem, Nosein HaTorah. God gave us the Torah. Then there's a second bracha. Asher Nosan Lanu Toras Emes. God gave us a Torah of truth. Truth and Kedusha go together. How do I know? Because Yaakov Avinu was the pillar of truth, the pillar of Torah, and the pillar of Kedusha. The bracha in Shmoneh Esrei that corresponds to Yaakov is Ata Kadosh, Kedusha. The Kedusha corresponds to Yaakov because Kedusha, spirituality, has to come from Emes. It can't just be something contrived because you feel like that. It has to come from the truth, and the truth comes from Torah. So Torah and truth and Kedusha, getting closer to God, and feeling spiritual has to be rooted in reality, the reality of Torah, that's reality. And it can't just be something contrived by emotion. And that's why it says, Asher Nosan Lanu Torah Emes, V'chaye Olnata, and that's why we have eternal life. Eternal life is Kedusha. That's holiness transcends the material world. But you can only transcend the material world and reach eternity and be eternal if it's rooted in Torah, which is truth. So that's the second bracha. All of our Kedusha, the Emes, our eternal life, which is what holiness is rooted in the Torah. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be involved personally with the Kedusha. How did the Kohen bring out that holiness? By wearing this clothing. The clothing brings out the Kedusha, the holiness of the Kohen. It says, L'kadsho l'kanolim. It's interesting. The purpose of the clothing of the Kohen had two purposes. One is l'kavod l'tiferes, that when people saw the Kohen dressed in these beautiful clothing, it brought out a certain respect for the Kohen. That was how it impacted on others. But the other purpose of the clothing was l'kadsho l'kanolim, to sanctify the Kohen in order that she be a Kohen. And it says if they're not wearing their clothing, then they're not Kohanim. The clothing make them the Kohen. And that clothing, which brought out the holiness of the Kohen, had to be done by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe had to, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded, it says, V'ata tedaber, it says, V'asisa bigdei kodesh le'aron achich, it doesn't say V'ata, it says V'asisa. You should delegate authority that they should make clothing for Aaron and his children, l'kavod l'tiferes, for honor and for glory. That's the external thing. But the ata, you, what you have to do directly is to daber o kochma achmei lev, Hashem aleithi ruach chochma, for osu es big de Aaron, the kadsho the kanli. You personally have to be involved in making sure the clothing will bring out the kedusha of the Kohen. the aspect of the begotten that it impacts on others, glory and honor of the Kohen, that anybody can do. That you delegate. But you be involved directly in commanding the people who are going to make these clothing to make it with an intention of l'kad shel l'kad only. That you have to do. So those are the three things that what's it called, that Moshe had to do directly, says the Sfarno. Now, and we understand why. Because those three things are Torah Shebal Peh, Avoda, Kedusha. And they all have to come from the reservoir of Torah, because if they don't, then it's not authentic Torah, it's not authentic Avoda, it's not authentic Kedusha. Okay, that's the case. I want to say like this. The name of a person is what gives him an identity to others. When you call him by his name, he doesn't need to know his name. It's other people have to identify him by a name. So other people identify a person by their name. The name identifies the essence of the person, but towards others. When you say you, you're not identifying Lagabe other people who that is, but the person, everybody hears the you, Lagabe himself. So a person identifies himself by you, but he's identified to other people by his name. He doesn't need to have a name for himself, he knows who he is. So the pronoun you is enough to identify a person to himself, but not to identify him to other people, because everybody's the same you then. Then you need a separate name. When Moshe Rabbeinu was functioning as the one to give over the Torah, so his function was klapei other people. His name is mentioned. And his name, in fact, represents his role to other people. The name Moshe, he was called Moshe because I took him out of the water. So everybody asked, he should have been called Moshui, taken out. Moshe means to take others out. But that's the idea. Moshe, because he was taken out of the water and saved, had this tafkid, this mission, to take other people out and to give over the Torah and to save others, both physically, spiritually, whatever. But that was Moshe's mission towards other people. But then there was Moshe's inner essence. Moshe's inner essence was Moshe Kibel Torah. Moshe was the repository, the reservoir of Torah. God filled him up with Torah. So he was the reservoir of Torah. These three things weren't Moshe Rabbeinu giving over, but connecting into the reservoir that Moshe Rabbeinu was. And therefore, in this Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu is not named, but he's just a you. Because in this Sedra, it's not Moshe Rabbeinu's name vis-a-vis others, but it's the essence of what he was to himself that had to be connected into. Through Torah Shebal Peh, and through what's it called, through the Avoda, and through the... And that's why it says that Moshe Rabbeinu carved the Luchos, the Torah Shebal Peh, right, the second Luchos. Psal Lecha, you carve them. You have to create that reservoir of Torah. And when the first Luchos were given, they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's called Toras Moshe. It was poured into Moshe. It was downloaded into Moshe Rabbeinu's hard drive. And he became the receptacle, the reservoir. That's why he was allowed to break the Luchos. He felt it was necessary, so they were his to break. He broke them because he felt it was necessary. He didn't have to ask God if he can break them or not. He became the repository of the written Torah from which all the oral Torah comes. So that is the meaning of why these three things had to be done directly by Moshe Rabbeinu. Couldn't just delegate it. He wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu as the giver of the Torah. Giving, you could give through other people too. But this is something that was part of the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't give over your essence through somebody else. That's called a mitzvah shebegufo. In other words, you can do a mitzvah that you have to do through an agent, right? You can shecht korban pesach through an agent, right? I don't have to shecht it. I can delegate somebody else to shecht it for me. It's like I did it. But I can't delegate somebody to eat the korban pesach for me because that's something part of my essence. That's going to my stomach, right? So the mitzvahs that Moshe gave over, he could delegate authority. But the mitzvahs that have to do with the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu, that couldn't be delegated to anyone. There you had to directly connect into that reservoir, into that essence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu isn't mentioned by name, because the name represents your relationship to others. Whereas here we're talking about Moshe's relationship to himself, to his essence. Therefore, it's only you. You defines a person to himself, doesn't define him to other people.